Good evening. It's good to see you. Welcome to our candlelit carol service. Welcome to Sunjo and the Korean gang. We're so pleased that you are here, and we're looking forward to the songs that you're going to bring to us in a little bit. If you're a visitor here today, you are more than welcome. And let me explain what we're going to do. We're going to sing some carols which proclaim the beauty and the wonder of the Christmas story, that God incarnate became human, took on human flesh, that we might all know and be able to live in Christ. We're going to pray. We're going to hear the scriptural story, the scriptural Christmas story, and we're going to do it with great joy. Listen to these words from Luke 2. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to all whom God favours. The chorus of angels praising God was the first ever Christmas carol. We don't know what the melody was or how many parts there were in the arrangement. We don't know how many voices sang and whether they were male voices, female voices, or something completely different. All we do know is that the lyrics of this carol span the vast vista of both heaven and earth. On the one hand, the angel's words pointed to the glory of God in the highest heavens. On the other, they pointed to our greatest need on earth, peace on our planet. The carol may be brief in duration, but it is massive in scope. It is an abiding reminder that something doesn't have to be eternal in order to be immortal. And we're going to sing some carols that join with that theme. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Let me pray, and then we're going to have our first reading. This prayer is from an unknown source. It's from the 10th century. It's 1,000 years old. And it's a good prayer for today as it was then. Lord God, you are our eternal salvation, the unfailing life of the world. Light everlasting, you are truly our redemption. Grieving that the human race was perishing through the tempter's power, without leaving the heights, you came to the depths in your loving kindness. Readily taking our humanity by your own gracious will, you saved all earthly creatures long since lost, restoring joy to the world. Redeem our souls and bodies, O Christ, and so possess us as your shining dwellings. By your first coming, make us righteous. At your second coming, set us free, so that when the world is filled with light and you judge all things, we may be clad in spotless robes and follow in your steps, O King, into the heavenly hall. Amen. Our first reading is from Luke 1, and it charts that magnificent encounter that Mary has with the angel Gabriel. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. We have some song sheets from Open Doors. Open Doors is a charity. We'll hear a little bit more about them later. If you haven't managed to grab one, there are some at the back. And we're going to sing the first song on our order service today. But it's actually song number 6 on your sheets. O Come, All Ye Faithful. Let's stand and sing together. Please grab your seats. Jack's going to come and give our next reading.
Bringing two readings. The first one from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. And then from the New Testament, where that prophecy is fulfilled, Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
We're going to stand and sing once more, and it's song number 7 in your sheets, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Be seated. We're going to have our next reading now. Sharon's going to come and give that reading. It's taken from Luke 2 and it's verses 1 through to 20. Thank you, Sharon.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which was just as they had been told.
We're going to sing once more, and we're going to sing Silent Night, and it is song number 2 in your sheets. And afterwards, we're going to be regaled with 3 amazing songs from the Korean choir. And I'd say to your gang, just come straight up afterwards. That'd be tremendous. Shall we stand and sing this song together?
Thank you. Oh. Wow. Wow. Shall we just do that one more time? Thank you so much. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. It's such a gift to us to be able to share this church building with the Korean church, and you are such a gracious gift to us, and we thank you that we are brothers and sisters with you. We're going to have our next reading, and I think Elsie Horry is going to come and read from Matthew 2, verses 1 through to 12.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When the King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this was what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go along and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw a child with his mother Mary, and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
In a moment we're going to sing again, but we're going to take up an offering. It's one of the things we do in this church during our carols by candlelight service. We normally take up a charitable offering, and the charity that we're supporting this year is Open Doors. And it tells you a little bit about Open Doors on the back of the service sheet. It says, "Open Doors supports persecuted Christians in more than 60 countries around the world, supplying Bibles, training church leaders, providing practical support and emergency relief, and supporting Christians who suffer for their faith. In the UK and Ireland, Open Doors works to raise awareness of global persecution, mobilising prayer, support and action among Christians." And if you're not come prepared today, that's not a problem. But if you're aware of our tradition of taking up an offering for charity during our carols by candlelight service, please give. There are some gift aid forms at the back of the church if that's something that would interest you. And while we take up our offering, we're going to sing song number 4, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Just to say again, if you're not come prepared, please just let the offering plates pass you by. There's no obligation whatsoever, but just if you're able to give to this wonderful charity and the work that they do, please do so. Let's stand and sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem." just pray for the offering and grab a seat, and I'll pray for the offering, and then we're going to have our next reading. Thank you, Lord God, for your generosity to us. And Christmas is such a wonderful example of that generosity when we remember your great movement of love towards us in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord God, for the great work that Open Doors does. And we do ask that you would bless that work and bless the money that is raised for that charity over the Christmas period. And we do pray once more for those who are persecuted across the world for their faith. And we ask, Lord, that this Christmas time will be one of hope and one of joy and one of peace for such people. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ray Tarst is going to come and read from Micah 5, just a few verses for us.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned unto the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Amen.
Some great words to reflect on, aren't they? We're going to sing one more time, and we're going to have one more reading, and then Jim's going to share God's word with us. We're going to stand and sing once in Royal David City. I'm not entirely sure we're going to do it as well as the Korean choir did it, but we're going to give it a go. Let's stand together and sing song number one in your sheet.
Please be seated.
The final reading is from Isaiah, and this is from the Old Testament. So this is a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
It's our tradition in our church to pray for the speaker. They need every bit of help they can get. And so we're going to do that. We're going to pray for Jim right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jim. Thank you for his ministry, for the great gift he is to us as a church. And I thank you, Lord, that you've put something particularly on his heart tonight, that it's a massive sermon rewrite that we're getting tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that you would give us eyes to see what you want to reveal to us, ears to hear you, and hearts that are open to your word. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I want to, on behalf of everyone, and Tim's already done it, but I want to do it again. Thank you so much, Soonjo, and the Korean Church for coming along and being a part of our worship this evening. It's just marvelous. What a blessing it is to be in a Baptist church or to arrive at a Baptist church and then be told we are kind of partners with a Korean church as well. It's absolutely marvelous. So thank you for coming and leading us in such beautiful worship. I want to talk to you all about the shortest of tonight's readings, the one that Ray so kindly brought to us, about a chap called Micah. And Micah obviously had hugely intelligent and foreseeing parents, because his name, Micah, means literally, who is like God? It's an expression of wonder and amazement at how marvelous God is. And indeed, Micah, at the end of his tiny little book, finishes with those words in Micah 7:18. He says, O Lord, who is like you? It's a remarkable and a beautiful sentiment. Just revel in it for a moment. Micah's parents and Micah himself all reach the same conclusion, and it's one that we pray in Jesus' name everyone here tonight will also reach, that God is just amazing. He does remarkable things. He does incredible things. So this tiny little book was written around 2,700 years ago, Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. What he wrote was so brilliant that he's quoted in Jeremiah. He's kind of sprinkled throughout the Bible. And Micah is what is known as a prophet. What is a prophet? I hear you cry. Many people have a bit of a guess at what a prophet is. A lot of people who haven't had theological studying in their lives will turn around and say a prophet is someone who talks about the future. Someone who predicts the future. But no. Sometimes a prophet might predict the future, but in the Bible, a prophet simply means this: someone who speaks on behalf of God. Someone who stands and speaks on God's behalf. And Micah has a very interesting message. The message that comes so clearly through Micah over and over and over again is God saying this to everyone: you don't get me. You don't get me. What I'm doing is bigger, far bigger than you could possibly imagine. And you see it even in this tiny passage that Ray read for us. Listen to these opening words. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Ephrathah, incidentally, is a district or an area. Like where Cambridge, Cambridgeshire, they had Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Just in case anyone wanted to send a letter. You, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Let me summarize masses of the Bible, all of the first big chunk of it. It's the same story over and over and over and over again. God loves his people and they love him and everything's great. Then his people start to do terrible things. They sin. They think things wrong. They say things wrong. They do things wrong. And they journey away from God. Here they go. I'm depicting it by moving across the stage. Then, when they've moved away from God, things go badly for them. And everything is awful. Here they are now in a terrible place. Then one of them has the bright idea of calling out to God and saying, please help us. God sends a person to help them. They listen to that person, the Redeemer. And then they get back to this good place over here. And then off they go again. They're fine for a few weeks. Then they do something wrong and round it goes again. And as you read God's word, as you read the Bible from cover to cover, you see it going round and round and round and round. But a few of the prophets said, yes, God has sent a redeemer to you before, but he's going to do something incredible, bigger than you could possibly have expected. He sends men and women to save you sometimes, but one day he will come himself. And the redemption will be bigger than you possibly expected. Micah reminds us of it, and he says that same simple thing. I'm summarizing, of course. On behalf of God, the Lord says, you don't get me. I'm doing something bigger. One day I will come. I myself will come and save you. And the salvation is going to be bigger than people expected. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. The Jewish people quite rightly believed themselves to be God's special people, the chosen people of God. But in ancient times, they made an incorrect assumption that they would be the only people God redeemed. They were wrong. God's plan As Micah reveals, as Isaiah reveals in 49 and verse 6, if any of you have a Bible that you want to look it up in. As is variously otherwhere revealed, God's plan is for his salvation to be for the world, for everyone to be gathered in, for all who call on the name of the Lord and reach out to him to be saved. And this is what Micah is explaining here. Again, can you hear it? Can you hear God saying, you don't get me? What I'm doing is bigger. Bigger than you anticipated. Bigger than you expected. You don't get me. What I'm doing is bigger. What about the victory at the end of it all? Micah continues, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. They will win. And as the years went by, there's Micah typing, I guess, probably writing with a quill, writing 700 BC, but in 50 BC, it was the Romans' turn to invade the tiny little Jewish homeland, Palestine. It was their turn. Loads of other people had done it. Now the Romans arrived and they stayed. They stayed an awful long time. And all the Jewish people assumed that when the wonderful Messiah, the King of Kings, God with us, Emmanuel, the promised Savior came, that he would, of course, conquer the Romans and restore the Holy Land. They didn't listen carefully to the voice of God. You don't get me. I'm doing something bigger, much bigger, because this victory is over sin. This victory is over death. This victory is opening the door of heaven and offering eternal life to the world. That's the extent of the victory. It's bigger than beating the Romans a couple of times 2,000 years ago and 50 years. It's bigger than that. God says, you don't get me. What I'm doing is bigger. This Christmas time, when you see the rather grim or twee depictions of the Savior of the world in his little nativity scene, in a crib, there he is looking up, his little arms outstretched, Mary and Joseph leaning in, angels, wise men. You've all seen it. You can walk past the shops and glimpse it. Hear that voice. Hear the voice of the Lord that spoke through Micah. You don't get me. I'm doing something bigger. The Lord says that into each and every one of our lives. He wants to do something bigger in all of us. And bless us. Not just this Christmas time, but forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now, we are going to sing our closing carol, literally as fast as Jeff can run to the organ. Joy to the World, it's number 9 on your sheets. If you're able to stand to sing, please do.
Thank you.
Please grab your seats. Time for one closing blessing. But before we do so, I want to say a big thank you on behalf of those. Big thank you to those who have made the church look so nice tonight. Candles everywhere and lights everywhere, and they've done a really good job. So a big thank you to them. A big thank you to Jeff on the organ, and a big thank you to the Korean church choir. And let me finish with this blessing. It's from William Temple, who wrote it, and it's a prayer / blessing, and he says this: "We pray thee, O Lord, to purify our hearts, that they may be worthy to become thy dwelling place. Let us never fail to find room for thee, but come and abide in us, that we also may abide in thee, who, as at this time, was born into the world for us, and dost live and reign, King of kings and Lord of lords, now and forever." Amen. Please stick around for some refreshments. They're going to be out in the cafe area. Lots of mince pies if you haven't already had your season's fill of mince pies, and tea and coffee as well. Thank you for being here tonight. Bless you.